I want to read first two verses. Jesus chapter 4. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which has so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, the thought that I want us to center our attention upon is taken from verse 1. Look at verse 1 with me again. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I want to preach on the subject of the results of sin in our church. The results of sin in our church. Now, I'm not talking about churches in general, I'm talking about our church. I'm sort of beginning to get the idea that if people are going to ever hear anything, you're going to have to say it plain and straight to them. Quit beating around the bush. Not that I'm the Holy Spirit, but I am the messenger of God's Word. If you'll notice, in this verse it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now, I believe that all of us know what the wages of sin is. Paul said, the wages of sin are death. There's two kinds of death, one's physical death, the other's second death. And both of them are a result of sin. When James, in his writing over a page in my Bible, in the first chapter, and verse 14 and 15, when he said this, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now, I believe and know that the result of sin, according to the Bible, is death. Now, that can be death in this life, or it can be an eternal death. It can be either. But that's not the only result of sin. I believe that some of the results of sin is that, especially in a church, will cause God to withhold blessings from that church. Now, I know that God works sometimes, and I know He's a sovereign God, but there's too many illustrations in the Bible where God withheld blessings from the children of Israel because of sin. Now, I don't believe that's changed. I believe that's the reason our church is standing still. I don't believe it, I know it. That's the reason our church is standing still. With all probability, we have those that have and still are in the state of rebellion. That's holding our church back. With all probability, we have those that have and still are holding hatred in their hearts. And that's holding our church back. With all probability, we have those that have and still are lying. With all probability, we have those that have been and still are committing robbery. I'm not talking about holding up banks. With all probability, we have those that have been and still are cheating. Cheating comes in many different forms. In all probability, we have and still are have people that are hitting the bottle. With all probability, we have had and still have people that are committing fornication. With all probability, we have had and still have people that are committing adultery. With all probability, we have and still have people that are unfaithful. And that's many aspects. Family, church, and many other aspects. Now I believe that when Paul said, and I believe he said this, he said, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us." There are many results of sin that are given in the Word of God, and especially you can go back and you can use some Old Testament examples of how God worked with the children of Israel and some results of sin when sin came in among the children of Israel. The same result will be true today in a New Testament Baptist church. Now, I don't know. This has been basically taking root for 2 years now. Well, some of it's been 10 or 12 years. It took root 10 or 12 years ago. But it's never been finished. Basically, the last 2 years, our church has been going downhill spiritually. And I contributed that to many things and to different individuals, different people, and their lives in them. Now that concerns me. And it ought to concern you. I thought about this principle that is a biblical principle, and that is a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And we're taking it in. It's growing. This leaven is growing in. I thought about a lot of times, you know, we try to, why is it that we always try to act ignorant of these things? You know, sometimes when it's in our own family, and then when it's in our church, and we try to act ignorant, you know, we try to act like we don't know anything's going on or anything's happened or there's nothing wrong. But you know, all that is sort of a whitewashing that just deceiving yourself. And you sure can't deceive God, and you cannot fool God. And sometimes people say, well, if it's somebody that is a member of our church, it only affects them, it don't affect anybody else. Well, that's where you're wrong. Now, if a person is living in any of these sins and not a member of this church, it doesn't affect this body. Because they're not a part of this body. To give you an illustration of this, turn with me back to the book of Joshua. And there in the 7th chapter of the book of Joshua, and this ought to be familiar to me and to you. And it's when God had led the children of Israel up out of Egypt and brought them down, and they were faced with Jericho, and they were to go over and take the city of Jericho, and they did, following God's instructions. But now, there was something that happened there at Jericho that one man among the children of Israel got involved in. It was a disobedience to the Word of God, and it affected the whole group of Israel. Now look in Joshua chapter 7, and I want you to notice how it starts out and what it says, the very first word of verse 1.
But the children of Israel, and you're going to find out it was one man. When we read on the seventh chapter, you're going to find that one man was the cause of this being written. Just one individual said it. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. When are we going to learn that when I sin, it not only affects me and hurts me, it hurts my family. It affects my wife. It affects my daughters. It affects my son-in-laws. It affects my children. When are we going to learn that when we sin or commit a trespass, that it not only affects us and them, but it affects this church? And that's a biblical principle. We're members of the same body. We've been set in a body. We're in it together. Now, really what happened is here that if you'll go back into the sixth chapter and look with me at verse 18, it says this, "And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed things." Now, you have to read on in the seventh chapter to see what Achan really did. What he really took and what God is calling the accursed things. Now look what he says, "Lest ye make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it." And so we see that really what happened is they went to battle. Now, everything seemed to be all right. They went down to Jericho, and they had a great victory at Jericho, and they all came back rejoicing. And the majority of the people didn't know what really happened at Jericho. They didn't know that while they were down there, that one of their number had violated God's commandment. So they all came back like rejoicing in the great victory that God had given them at Jericho. Tell you, we went through a state of revival here in this church up to about 2 years ago. We did. And then certain things began to happen and it just stopped it all. I can name what began to happen. What really began to take place and how different people decided they weren't going to serve the Lord like they ought to serve the Lord. And now look at this. They came back with great anticipation, not knowing really what had happened. But then look when they go out to battle again in verse 3 through 5. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, now what they had done, they'd gone up and looked out Ai and viewed Ai. And God had promised them that He would give them the land and give them the victory. But the problem was they disobeyed God's word through one man. And it affected the whole children of Israel. And look what it says in verse 3. "Let not all the people go up, but about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people go thither, for they are but few." And it ought to have been such a simple victory. It ought to have been such a simple task. But look what happened. "So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men. But look at this. And they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted, and the pain was washed." Not only did 36 people die, but they lost their get up and go. And that's what happens to a church that falls into this kind of a situation. They lose their get up and go. And they lose their concern. And they lose their compassion. This is the result. This is the result of sin in our church. Now, what had taken place here in this passage of Scripture. Now, look and you'll see, and I want to read verse 11, verse 12, and verse 13, to bring out, even though only one person has sinned. Now, when one person sins, lives an open sin in this church, not only is that person sinned, but this church is sinned. Whether you like it or not, whether you'll admit it or not, we're guilty of sin too. And that's how simple and how plain it is. The problem is people will not lay hold of church truth, of being one body, being added to that body, a member of that body, a part of that body. Look in verse 11, 12, and 13. Now it was only Achan that said, Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Now he uses the word they. And in reality it wasn't they, it was him. He did it. Now look at verse 12. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. Why couldn't they stand before their enemies? It's because they sinned. And they sinned against God. That's their problem. That's where we are. You know, I always, every time that I get into this kind of situation, I always begin to examine myself and wonder, should I leave? It ain't me. It's not me. I don't declare that. Now look at the result. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. I tried everything I could to go to Monticello, but I couldn't. The Lord wouldn't let me. Wouldn't let me. I never had a harder time preaching any place in my life. And I don't have a problem preaching anywhere. But I did up there. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Now look what he said. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Now there is the result of sin in our church. People say, well, this kind of thing let go on in other churches and they have all these moves and things. Yeah, but what kind of moves are they? What's the basis of it? Easy believism. Historical faith. Repeat after me. Sign this card. But they've lost their power. They've lost their effectiveness. And this is a result of sin. Brother, I believe that this, we need to wake up to this. And don't push it on me. I'm responsible for what I'm responsible for. But you all know where sin lies. You know where the sin is. We don't even have to check lost as it is here. It's obvious. But he said, and I thought about this. You know what I thought about first of all? Is the word Ichabod. You know what the word Ichabod means? The glory of the Lord is departed. The Spirit of the Lord is no longer there or in me. I'm not saying that we're in that condition. But I'm saying that we could get in that position or be in that position as a church. He said, neither will I be with you anymore except you destroy the accursed from among you. And here's what he admonished, verse 13. Sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thy enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you.
God can save whoever he wants to, whenever he wants to. But I tell you what we're doing. We're holding back the blessings of the Lord by allowing our church to have sin dwelling. We're doing that. We're trying to work around that sin and get God's blessing. People sitting here today that we want to see saved by the grace of God. And you never help a person by overlooking their sin. You don't do that. You harm them. You do harm. Now this, I believe, is what happened. Israel sinned. But now, you'll find the whole heart of this matter is in verse 24. And what had really happened here, you'd think this was such a simple thing and wouldn't affect anybody. Look what he did in verse 20 and verse 21. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And thus have I done. When I saw among the spoil of the goodly Babylonian raiment, or garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted and took them, and behold, they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the tent and the silver under it. Now, a lot of people, that would be true. They would say, you know, they've not done such a bad thing. I talked this morning to some people. You know what we've happened? We've let the world modernize their terminology. Homosexuals used to be queers. And they still are. And they still are. And people with disease of alcohol used to be drunk. That's what the Bible told. But what we've done, and you know, it's affected all of us. I'm not just saying it hasn't affected me. It's affected me too. But we let the world change our views and our ideals and our even our terminology. As to how we speak and to what we say. And some people say, well, this isn't such a big deal, such a big matter. Why are you making such a big fuss out of it? I tell you why I'm making a big fuss out of it. The Lord said you're not going to be able to stand before your enemies. And he said here that I will not be with thee anymore. I tell you, I don't know of anything that would be any worse than for the Holy Spirit to leave this church. What I mean by that is removing the candlestick. That means taking the candlestick out. We can go on and have services. A lot of people do without it. But I don't know anything can be any more severe than that. And so what was the result of Achan's sin could not overcome their enemies and said, I will not be with you anymore unless you remove the accursed thing. And the same principle is true today. Now, and there's not favoritism in this thing. It doesn't matter if it's your family or my family. It's still a principle of God's Word, and it's truth. Amen. And so the result was, y'all know what the result was. You can go and read that 7th chapter. And the result. But now there's another Old Testament example. And I want you to turn to the book of Numbers. I want you to look with me at this. I just, this way, I have a good friend that pastors Ubi Baptist Church. Was Scott Guy, and I heard some people criticizing him because of some of the things that he preaches and stands for, and because some of the people in the church was following that. And I thought, this don't add up. You mean you call a preacher and he preaches the Word of God and you ain't supposed to follow it?
And they're members of that church. That's like you say, oh, Brother Hardy believes that. We don't believe that. Brother Hardy believes it. What are you kidding yourself? What are you talking about? You're better getting lying. I'm not straight. I mean, I'm not saying that from my standpoint. I'm not, you know, I don't have no power or anything about me. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace called to preach God's Word. That just by the providence of God, He placed me as parent of this church. That's all I am. And I couldn't believe it. And of course, what they were so mad about is that he was teaching them how they ought to live in their homes and how they ought not to engage in the things of the world, how they ought to train their children and bring their children up to love and admonition of the Lord, and the others were mad about it, so they didn't want to do it. And they weren't going to do it. The world is a bunch of fun. And they were mad. So who's they going to crucify? Preacher. He's got his little bunch following him. Amen. That's what I said, Brother. Praise the Lord. You don't find that too often today in Baptist churches. People that are willing to hear God's Word and to heed God's Word and to follow God's Word. Well, y'all can see I had a real good church. Come back more shape than I went in. You know, up here. Because some of those people said that was close to my heart. Their thinking's not my thing. They don't know me anymore. They don't know who I am or what I am by the grace of God. Sometimes I think I'll never go back, but I repent of that. You do. Numbers chapter 12, look with me. I don't mean that in the wrong way, folks. Numbers chapter 12, and it says this, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. They didn't like that. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And now here's the problem, is the Lord heard him. Every pastor this church has ever had is the pastor of this church. I don't agree with every one of them. They don't agree with me. But I regard them as having been the pastor of this church. I regard them as the person that God placed here for that time to do what God wanted done at that time. Well, turn with me to Exodus chapter 4. This is going to be feeding time here in a minute. Exodus chapter 4. Now I want you to look how this all started. Now in Exodus 4 and verse 10 through 16, look how it started. This was when the conversation between the Lord and Moses. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb or deaf, or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, of the hand of him whom thou wilt send. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart, and thou shalt speak unto him, and notice, and put words in his mouth. Now Moses is going to tell Aaron what to say. Aaron ain't going to tell Moses what to say. That's not the way God designed it. And said, And with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. Meaning the only thing is, I'm going to tell you, he's going, and you're going to tell him, and he's supposed to tell what you tell him. Because you're the man that I'm going to put over the children of Israel to lead thee. Now that's the way God does come. He doesn't change. I really am disappointed when people, you know, have a good pastor that knows the truth and loves the truth, and then because of some little personality or something comes up, won't follow. I think that's a shame. We ought to suck our little feelings in and our little personalities in, and we ought to search and yearn and look for truth and look for someone that would preach to us the Word of God in the right way. We ought to do that. Now, I believe that in Numbers 12, go back there. Well, it, you see what happened here. Moses and Aaron both spoke out against him. Now, I know. I'm not saying that we can't sit down and have a discussion on something and you not agree with me. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. Well, it'd be mere foolishness to advocate something like that. But Paul, you and I can sit down and discuss something and not agree. We can agree to disagree, but it doesn't mean that I'm really shooting you and you're really shooting me, or you're rebelling against me. It doesn't mean that. I don't buy the thing of people afraid to talk to their pastor. I don't go for that. I'm really hurt anytime someone comes up with that kind of an idea about me. I'm hurt about that. And I'm not going to just come down your throat or get in this pulpit and just preach down or vengefully get back at you. I'm not going to purposely do that. Now, if there's someone that needs to be admonished, or if there's someone that needs to be openly rebuked for all, then I'll do that. Because that's what Scripture says. Now, that's Scripture. I want that understood. And thanks. But not just something as far as a vengeful getting back. I know actually the ground, but I tell you, I love this church. If I didn't, I wouldn't be here. I'm here because the Lord has placed me here, and I love it. And even though we have people that things are wrong in their life, I don't love their ways, but I love that individual, that person. And that needs to be understood. And it needs to, both ways, it needs to work. Now, okay, so that being said, I look here at what happened. Now, we closed out with it and said, "And the Lord heard." Now, look at verse 4 through 8. "And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and Aaron unto Miriam, Come out, he said, ye three unto the tabernacle congregation, and they came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud, and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth, and he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream." And there's only three people here in Amos: Moses, Miriam, and Aaron. And then notice it says, yeah, it's in verse 7. "My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house." Now look, "with him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" Now, I'm not going to do anything to you. You speak against me. If somebody stands at the door, ridicules me, excuse me, I'm not going to do anything to you. Now, the flesh, by the grace of God, I'll try to control my temper and my flesh. By the grace of God. I'm going to say that. I'm just as fleshly as you are. I'm just as human as you are. I don't know why anybody would expect me to take something that they won't have. And I'm laying it out this morning, just flat like it is. You know, no, I'm going to pick no bones, make no bones about this thing. This needs to be laid out. So the Lord said, how come that you are not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Now this is his brother and his sister. Now you think about this. You can say things about me, and I can't do anything about it. But the Lord's the one you're going to have thanks for. But I tell you, the result of that is, it'll kill this church.
Amen.
People would ask you, why in the world do you hold that? If that's the way you feel about freedom, and I don't have anybody got any flack against me or anything, as far as I know. You know, you all would know more about that than I would. People talk to you all, they don't talk to me, they'll talk to you all. If there's any flack against me, I don't know about it. Let me put it that way. You ought to be the ones who know about that. I want to make that clear too. But what people do, what these people didn't know what they're saying to me is they say that other people, that kills the influence of their church. Who wants to go listen to a preacher preach that even the members are ridiculed and talking about it? Now I realize we're human and there's things that we do wrong. And there's nothing wrong with saying something about it. I realize that too, but we're talking about here the leadership of the Lord, what they're talking about here in this. Now what happened? Verse 10. Well, verse 9 said the name of the Lord was came against them and he departed. And notice what else happened. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Now there's one thing that happened. But then look down in verse 15. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not, so Miriam was brought in again. The camp stood sealed. Now that can happen in the New Testament church. Because the rebellion really is against the Lord. If we could get it off a personal basis, and that's hard for us to do. We have personalities, and you know there's things that you like, I don't like. You say things different than I say things, and I say things different than you say them. But really, many times in the main, it's really all amounts to the same thing. Many times in the main, and if we can get off of personalities and understand that it's God that speaks through me as I speak the Word of God. This is what we have to come to grips with. So, as a result of this sin, they stood still. Well, there's another example. I'll go through it right quick. And that was over in the 16th chapter of the book of Numbers. Their sin was there in the 16th chapter. This dealt with Korah in verse 1 through 3. And they felt like that they were not in a position as prominent as everybody else. And they thought they should be elevated in a certain position. And they were really not satisfied with the place of service that God had given them. That's what it amounts to in verse 9. And look what he said. Moses said unto Korah, hear I pray you, ye sons of Levi. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself and to do service in the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? He said, seemeth this to be a small thing? God's done this. God has placed you in the position. Well, the sin is in verse 11. It says, for which cause both you and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is there that you murmur against him? And there was the murmur. I tell you what will happen in a church, that there's always murmur. It'll just stand still. And the blessings of the Lord will be withheld. And look at what the Lord said in verse 21. Separate yourselves from among this congregation that I may consume them in a moment. But look at Moses. What he said in verse 28 of this, he said this. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. But the Lord led Moses, and the Lord instructed Moses. And of course, the result of this was that the Lord took action in 32 and 33, and then the result of that is the congregation turned against Moses. I had people say, well, we did okay, you came, and you handled that wrong, and there's nothing about the man who committed adultery, the man who laid a dish drunk, nothing about him. There's nothing about the person who committed adultery, committed fornication. There's nothing about that. You know, that's all right. But you're wrong because you preached against it. And because you told us the truth. Well, that's not happened in the last 7 years, honey. But it's prevalent in churches. It's prevalent in churches. And people overlook sin. Now the practical, I believe that I've covered some things that is our problem in our church today. I've covered some things that I believe that is our problem. The results of this, the church stands still. Many times people are not satisfied with what God is doing. They're not satisfied with their place of service. And they're living in the lust of the flesh, and they're going after the world, and the result is the church is defeated by their enemies, and they're not getting the victory. You're not seeing people saved at the grace of God. Yeah. Your sin may not be, or it may be like Achan. It could be covetousness, it could be greed. It could be jealousy, it could be envy. Like Mary and Aaron, it could be strife or contention, it could be rebellion. Or it could be many other sins. But I believe exactly what Paul said there and admonished them in the book of Hebrews. And this is, I believe, the admonishment to our church is this. Here in Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I told my men, I didn't tell mine, and I told them in prayer group, three past Sundays I preached on New Book. Last Sunday, I've had good living. Last Sunday, I got to end my sermon, and everything fell off. Now, I'm the only one knows that. Because you ain't preaching. Rebellion, sin, upset, and turn everything off. Now, I know that. You may sense it. And if you've been in service, you felt like it was cold and dead, and some that was lively. And haven't you sensed that? Well, you ought to be preaching. I mean, you ought to be trying to preach. There's a difference in preaching and trying to preach. And I realize that some of it can be here. But I also realize that some of it can be here. And I realize that. And so what we need to do is we need to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. So when we come into the house of the Lord, we can worship in the Spirit and truth. And we're here for the purpose of bringing glory and honor to His name, and when we do that, then there'll be revival in our house, and then we'll see if people are not saved in Jesus Christ.